We have spent 2 full days filming here, guys, and now we're going to begin the editing process. But the unedited version, guys, is going to be camped out at odx.tv.
Nations going against nations.
Now, what we're seeing actually unleashed on the earth right now.
It's this hopeful expectation.
But something charging directly at us.
Anytime the name of Jesus was mentioned, these beings would flee in terror.
Bell worship, sex magic, human trafficking, pornography. It's actually all a part of the very same things. And friends, we are not afraid to talk about it. Well, my friends, I am not afraid. Hello, Pastor Troy Brewer here coming at you. It is October the 6th in the year 2025 on the Gregorian calendar. And I want to welcome you, my friends, to Altered State. And guys, this is all, that's the boom, which goes on in my spirit like 24 hours a day. And man, I want to invite you, man, to tune in today because I'm going to be talking about defeating the devil of poverty. This is all about spiritual warfare. And I think it might surprise you because did you know that the poverty war that is against you is actually part of the seed war that we have been discovering in episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5? And the seed war, which is first exemplified and actually just brought out in, where am I at here? This is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the first of all the messianic promises. The seed war is also a financial war. It's not just for your genetics. It's about for the promise that God, the promises that God Almighty has given you. And so I'm going to give you some special insight on how I fight poverty because I have a holy calling to kick poverty in the teeth everywhere I go. Now, I'm also going to say this to you. Me and Pastor Alan DeDio was talking about this recently. If you start talking about the prosperity of the saints, it attracts hatred from limp-wristed pansies all over the planet Earth, and I do not care. I do not care. I want to see poverty defeated within your life, and I want to see you to be able to stand in the goodness and the promises of God so that people look at you and say, man, their God is God. And guys, we're going to be talking about that today because I have to fight poverty all over the world, and I'm going to tell you how I fight it. So be sure and go to odx.tv, and I would encourage you guys to watch it on ODX because I don't ever know what's going to get censored and what's going to hurt somebody's feeling and doesn't go after their incredible standard of righteousness that is all over the social media platforms. I really can't think of anything that's righteous except for, well, anyway. But I would encourage you guys, just go to odx.tv. And you're also welcome to call us at 877-413-0888. Stand with us. And it's good to see my friends in South Africa are here. My friend in Germany is here. My friends in Ireland are here. Pablo is here from Argentina. And I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Be sure and let me know, just like my friend here, Vicky, who is from Gibsonville, North Carolina. Let me know where it is that you're watching from today. And let's get off into this. All right, Miss Connie, how are you today, Ladybug?
I'm good.
Daughter of the house, one of my little girls in the Lord, but you're all grown up. I was just telling you, man, you look so grown up.
I know, it happens every now and then. I'll actually look like I'm an adult.
Wow, well, that's crazy.
I know.
How old are you now? Are you allowed to say how old you are?
Yes, I don't care.
Yeah, I didn't think you did.
I'm 30.
You're 32 now?
I think so.
I don't think
how
you
old
are.
Is I'm the same age as Raymond and Luke.
Yeah, they're 32. Yeah. They'll be 33 here coming up here pretty quick. So you're probably fixed me. What is your birthday?
November 5th.
Hey friends, I want y'all to remember Connie's birthday.
No, don't.
November the 5th. Hey, listen, if you would, send in something amazing and let's all celebrate Connie's birthday on November the 5th. She's turning 46. It's amazing. All right. Or 32 or 33.
Did you say 46?
I did say 46.
33.
I was just seeing if you just paid attention. Oh, right on. You'll officially be as old as Jesus.
I know. When you turn 33. I'm so excited. I don't know, for probably about 5-7 years, I've been super excited about my 33rd birthday. So I'm excited.
Really? Mm-hmm. The Lord's done that with me as well in my walk with Him. I mean, you know, I had this promise, you know, that as soon as I turned 50, everything would change. Yeah. And it did. It did. And if you're just now joining in and if you're like, hey, we know you, Pastor Troy, we'll watch all your videos. You only know me from the time I was 54 because nobody knew me before I was 50 years old. And we did not have We had a hidden worldwide impact. And yes. Now it's a public worldwide impact.
Yeah.
And so you have to be able to survive, and you have to be able to walk with Jesus in loyalty when things are hidden. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to walk with Jesus in loyalty when things are manifest.
Yes, that's when you were just saying that and just made me think of, because you and Pastor Leanna, Dr. Leanna, had an incredible conversation. I think it was last week when she joined you for the Pulse, and y'all kind of touched on the topic of what it's the test of poverty and then the test of success, and how those two things are different.
Yeah.
And then one team can hang with you in one area, and then sometimes they can't make it to the next.
It's very few people that can actually make the transition. And it's very few people, even by themselves, can make the transition. You know, Saul was not able to make that transition.
Gosh,
he was immediately promoted, and he went from being the least of the least to the biggest of the biggest, and he became the enemy of God.
Yes.
You know, David greatly surpassed the transition from being the least of the least of the greatest of the greatest. Like, well, yeah, but he didn't with Bathsheba. No. He passed it in a sense of he was loyal to King Jesus in both of those.
Right.
He screwed up, and there was a lot of collateral damage, and that brother paid for it.
He did.
The sword never left his house. Literally on his deathbed. That woman, Bathsheba, that he demanded she be his wife, she's like, okay, I'm your wife. And she's on his deathbed. She is literally at King David's deathbed. Not going, I'm sorry, David, I love you. She's like, you said Solomon was a king. Kill your other sons. Does that sound like a woman that's madly in love to me?
No. Not at all.
No, because the deal was, once he got her and he got her into his house, had her husband killed off, which was the love of her life, he had to live with that woman.
Yeah.
He sure did.
And she lost their first child.
Yeah, and she lost her, which was David's fault.
Yes.
And he knew it was his fault.
And she was not at fault.
Yeah.
He was a king, and she was a regular commoner woman.
That's exactly right. And she had no choices in
any of that. She had no choice.
Women basically had no choices in those days anyway. But this, especially so, because it was cool to be the king. Everybody loves him. He's like, everybody love me. I can get away with this. I mean, I can get away with everything. I've killed my tens of thousands.
Right.
And I get away with all that. What's one more? It ain't going to hurt anything. It was out of covenant with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It was out of covenant with the Lord. And that's one of the things I want to talk to you today is about fighting. When it comes to fighting and killing the devil of poverty within your life and coming to a place where you will hear God speak, you will never be poor again. I have heard God speak that to me. And that is a big deal when you cross that threshold. And I'm going to give you some insight on how to actually do that. So I want to say one more time, it's great that everybody is here today. I see so many people are here from all over the world. So happy to see you. Rachel Krug, I call you blessed in Jesus' name. I stand with you. Sarah Spencer. Hey, what's going on with you, man? So good to see you. Jennifer Wyatt, I call you blessed in the name of Jesus. And look here, the UK is here. Bianca, I should say. Hey, I'm so happy that you're here. Thank you so much for joining us today. Yeah, look at all these people. All right.
Cool.
Well, let's get off into this, Miss Connie.
Yeah.
So I was in North Carolina last week. And I was with Alan DiDio and Todd Coconato and Joseph Z. I'll be with that same bunch again this weekend, actually next weekend in Phoenix. And I had so many people come up to me and tell me, we're so glad that you're doing Altered State.
Oh, wow.
I mean, so many people.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. And once one person said it, everybody, yeah, us too, man. That's like our favorite show that you do now is Altered State, because we're talking about spiritual warfare, because the fight is on. And man, we got to live lives with our gloves up.
Yes.
And we got to be on the offense as well.
Yeah. I so see the need for that, because I don't feel like I go and read a lot of books from like the older generation, or I'll watch the older generation about spiritual warfare, just because I feel like the realm is opening up now in a different way. And you just have to be equipped in a different way to be victorious.
You know, in the Civil War, the reason why there were over 200,000 people that died in that war is because they used old school tactics with new and with modern guns.
Yeah.
And I think that is so true for us today as Christians, that if we use old school tactics, we'll just line up and we'll just all get slaughtered.
Yeah, cannon fodder. Yes, we become cannon fodder. Because we're operating in ignorance, not realizing, wait, no, this is actually what King Jesus has provided us with. This is how King Jesus battled when he lived life here on earth. not realizing. I think that's been one of the things that's opened my eyes so much, is seeing how intentional King Jesus was about upsetting the kingdom of darkness. He wasn't afraid to pick a fight with the kingdom of darkness. And it all stemmed from his intimacy with the Father.
Mm.
And that's where he gained his authority.
Yes.
With his relationship with the Father.
And so, friends, if you guys missed episode number 4, we were talking about power and authority and the difference between your power in Jesus. I'm going to tell you, this coming Wednesday night, I'm going to be preaching out of I come in full demonstration in spirit and in power. I'm calling it the full Monty, by the way.
That's
awesome. What the sermon's called, the full Monty. That's what I'm calling it, full demonstration. And but the spirit comes before the power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you don't bring in the power and then invite the spirit in. The spirit comes in, and then the subsequent manifestation behind the spirit is the power. And so I'm going to be talking about that on Wednesday night. That's a really big deal. But that also applies with authority and power.
Yes, for right sure. On.
So how we stand with God. Hey, I'm Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. Shut your mouth.
I love Gabriel. He does not play games. That's so awesome. He's like, no.
Yeah.
Be quiet.
Yeah. And then I say this. I've been saying this for years. Look, by the way, New Zealand is here. We're so happy that New Zealand is here in the house. I say this all the time, too. You know, the woman of God, Elizabeth, she could not get pregnant for years and years and years because what happened in the tent didn't happen in the tent anymore until the brother got his mouth shut.
Until he was silent.
And then it's amazing. The fireworks happen. And it's like, it's amazing. It's amazing how that works. Just if you just shut your mouth, man, it wouldn't be amazing what could possibly happen within your life. You could give birth in your old age. So... thought I'd throw
my
that
gosh.
Out there. Right. That comes from the Troy Brewer Bible commentary. That's not true. Okay, so let's go through this, and let me kind of set this up just a little bit. And we're talking about fighting the devil of poverty. And I want to tell you, you do have to fight poverty.
Yes.
Money doesn't just come to anybody. And it's not about money. There, you cannot live in poverty and be richly blessed and still not have any money in the bank.
Yes, and
which is very possible.
Yes, and I think you have a good example of that with the Hebrews in the wilderness, because they left Egypt with the riches of the land, payback for the unpaid slavery they had endured for generations, and they still lived in a poverty mentality.
That's exactly right, because it's slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime in the Bible where you see slavery, you see the defeat of a nation, a people, or a land by something that is not God. And so, again, we're going to get back into the seed war and have to know that we are at war with this thing. And part of the demonic agenda to mess with all the genetics of human beings in these last days, which you just saw this whole thing that came out on the Sean Ryan show about the genetics of the Islamic hordes that are going throughout the world and how they're all inbred.
Yeah.
In some cases, 70% of them, they come from... their parents are first cousins.
Yeah.
It's just, that is also part of the seed war.
For sure, yes.
That's all part of it. Now, that makes them easy to control by their Islamic leaders because they have low IQ and they have high hostility.
It's an agenda.
It is an agenda. It is literally an agenda. And so that's all part of the seed war. What we're seeing is the seed war made manifest in these last days in so many ways.
Because that's what it's all about. That's the focus.
That is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about making us no longer the creation of Jesus.
So we can be hijacked.
We can be hijacked, and we can also become unredeemable human beings. We're no longer the seed of Adam, which Jesus only offers redemption to the seed of Adam.
Wow. Yeah, that's him.
There's so many things in that. There's so many things in that. You and I are both thinking them right now.
Yeah. I'm like, okay,
well, don't go there. Yeah. We got to stay here on this. But no, we are the seed of Adam. The blood of Jesus speaks better things than that of the blood of Abel, which demands justice and speaks against us. But the blood of Jesus actually speaks for us. Big deal.
Good things.
Really good things. Okay. I'm gonna go through this, and we're going to talk about this for just a few minutes. And... let me say this. There are going to be people that's going to take clips from this, and they're going to say, see, Pastor Troy is a big-time prosperity preacher. Well, let me just end all that for you. I am a prosperity preacher. I do want you to prosper. Brother Paul says that there's no greater delight that he has in all the world but to see his children prosper. And I want you to prosper in your soul. I also want you to prosper in your life. I want you to prosper. And what's real is part of your inheritance that comes from the Lord is that you do not live in a sorry state that everybody else does. And part of the slavery that comes against people is poverty. Now, I also want to say this as well. I have met some of the richest people on the planet Earth who didn't hardly have anything, but they were so rich because they were not enslaved by their situation. And so one of those stories, Leanna and I came across this amazing woman in Western Uganda that was this mighty woman of God. She had a vision about me. She had a vision about Leanna, and it was our first trip to Uganda. She put the word out and said, if anybody sees these people, it's going to be some fat, young, white guy with a great big beard, and I want to talk to him. And so they said, hey, yeah, there is a fat, white guy with a great big beard that's here in Western Uganda, and this is 30 years ago. Bring him to me. Me and Leanna went up to the top of the mountain. She lived in this extremely modest house, and that woman was so godly. That woman was so happy. That woman literally prayed us there. I mean, she could just pray and people would show up. Hey, Lord, would you send me this person, send that person here? Wow. And she'd pray. And then the word would get to people. And she said, I prayed you here. And I was like, you did? And she said, yeah. After it was all over with and after we spoke, I said, will you please come with me and Leanna down the mountain? Let's go into town. And I want to take you to a restaurant. I want to put you up in a nice hotel. We went, and she said, oh, no, I could never eat any of that food. And like, really? Like, yeah. Because the only food that woman has ever eaten in her entire life was two things. She'd eaten bananas and sweet potatoes. Have you ever heard me tell that story?
Yeah, I love the story.
Because they grow like weeds on the ground.
Yeah.
And she had never been anywhere in her entire life. And she's like, no, I don't need any of that. So I say that to say, I'm not saying that being rich means that you have $1 million in your account. Mm-hmm. I am saying that the Lord don't care if you have millions of dollars in your account.
Right. And I thought that she was the same lady, but I could be wrong. I think it is another Uganda story, but I've heard Pastor Leanna share it. And she talked about it was a woman who they didn't have much at all, but they still wanted to give y'all a gift. I can't remember if it was money or what it was. Yeah. And she was like, no, keep it. And then I think Pastor Leanna heard the Lord tell her, no, don't stop them from getting their blessing.
Yep. That's exactly right. Because I was judging everything according to my house versus her house, according to the amazing life that I've had and the very limited life that she's had as far as geography is concerned and as far as education is concerned. Although she could read like a crazy woman and she was such a Bible fanatic. And I mean, oh my gosh, she was so supernatural. She said, yeah, well, anytime I need anything, I just pray for it and God just brings it to me. I lack nothing.
Wow.
And like she survived Idi Amin during all that mess. And she's like, yeah, and she told us all these miracle stories about, yeah, I could see him coming up the mountain and they were going to come up here and kill me or rape me or something. And I just said, Lord, just stop that. And she said, just the dirt road that it was on had this big giant cliff. And she said the cliff collapsed and the road to her place was cut off. She's like, Lord, would you stop that? And just the road was just collapsed.
Wow.
And like nobody could, the whole entire time of Idi Amin's horrible reign where he killed over 1 million. You know, he's a Muslim and he killed over 1 million of his own people. And that's what Muslims in power do. And man, they could never gain access to her. There was only one way up there. She's like, no, I just asked the Lord to close the road. And there were so many bananas and sweet and plantains, you know. There's so many plantains and so many yams around here. Like I'm not in need of anything. It's the only thing I've ever ate anyway. Oh, she was so godly. I loved her so much. And she was an old woman. She was so beautiful. I just loved her. I just absolutely loved her. But while the world would not consider her rich, anybody with any sense would consider her rich because she walked in power and authority. She was not enslaved by her lack of money.
Right.
At all. And that's the poverty spirit.
Yes.
Because people that have a poverty spirit are actually, even if they got tons of money in the bank and they got more opportunity than anybody else, all they scream is victim, victim, and they go into gimme, 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 gimme. That's what they do. And I've been guilty of that. You've been guilty of that. At one time or another, we have just wanted to bang our head against the wall. And that was literally a poverty spirit that was after us that we were actually partnering with. And you have to run off the devil of poverty. And once you run that devil off, here's what I can tell you from somebody who is so blessed by God that I'm entrusted with millions of dollars a year throughout the world to make sure that his kingdom is coming and to make sure that these people are rescued in every way that they can be and all the things that we do all throughout the world. I can tell you right now that God doesn't care how many zeros you have because a zero is actually worth nothing. No matter how many zeros you add. But no, it's worth so much more. It's worth so much more in certain environments. If you are giving, if you go from one or two zeros, because this is what zeros are for, Connie, I've learned this. God Almighty blesses people with great amounts of zeros or few amounts of zeros, determined upon what environments they are called to operate in.
Oh, so true.
Because it's just about environments.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like my sister, who was one of the richest people I ever met. She didn't need a bunch of zeros.
No.
And I mean, she didn't. So why? What would she do with a bunch of zeros? She didn't know nothing about economics or usury or any of the mammon of the world. She didn't know nothing about any of that. She just knew how to pray and how to hear God speak. And that was what the whole world needed her to be.
Yes.
For somebody like me, who is called to rescue kids all over the world, I have to have a lot of zeros.
Yeah,
that's a whole different environment. So I'm telling you right now that zeros are for environments. And so God does not care. What he cares is, will you be faithful in the environments that he's trusted you in? If you have a poverty spirit, you can have a whole bunch of zeros. You can win the lottery and then 2 years later be completely broke because you didn't move into the right environment.
And it's rare that you ever hear of a person or a family that wins and they're successful years later, or they're still in that tax bracket years later. They don't steward. Usually they do not steward it well.
Well, I know what it's like to win the lottery because I did. I won it in 2016. I didn't win an actual lottery. I just had a book that sold and made us buku money. All of a sudden, man, we went from, and then all of a sudden I was known. And people started inviting me, and then people started supporting our ministry. And we went from, you know, a ministry that just made a few hundred thousand dollars a year to a ministry that actually operated in millions of dollars a year. Well, for us to do what God's called us to do, it takes millions of dollars. And I mean, it's like, boom, that money came to me, and it went right through me, and out it went. And we started building these 54 rescue centers all over the world, and the schools, and the water wells, and getting the licenses, and the employees, and the stuff. And I know what if you were going to ask me, what would you do if you won the lottery? I already know.
You passed that test.
And I did pass the test. Mm-hmm. I did. And I'm still passing it today because, you know, people, like, how is it that, you know, we are a multi-million dollar ministry, which is not that big of a deal as far as ministries go anymore, but it will always be a big deal to me. You know, it's not like, you know, we're Daystar and we're $1 billion ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not that, and I'm not any of that, but I can tell you that in what God has trusted me with, in the environments that the Lord has trusted me in, I can absolutely tell you that I have passed that test, and I love it. I actually enjoy it now. So I had to conform my life to it though. Once the Lord was putting me in new arenas and new environments, and once that actually happened, I had to conform to that. I couldn't think like poor boy Troy anymore. And I had to, there was a spirit that I was partnering with concerning that I had to defeat.
How did you know to confront it? Like if you'd never done so before, how did you finally figure, oh, okay, this is something the Lord's calling me to confront and gain dominion over, get it out of my territory and take dominion in that place instead?
A guy by the name of Mylon Lefevre. World famous rock and roller. Brother Mylon, when he talked,
he talked just like this.
And come over here and let me hug your neck. I just want to hug your neck, Troy. I love you so much. Man, you would have loved old Elvis. Elvis loved me, man. He'd have loved you. I promise you. Elvis Presley would have thought old Troy Brewer is a pretty cool guy to hang around. I loved Mylon. He was a big hero.
He was awesome.
Mylon came here. I don't know how mine was. He's old. He had long, long, long gray hair. Went down past his butt.
Yeah, he wore it back in a ponytail.
He's so cool to me, man. So cool to me. Well, he started, I hung out with him, and me being an old rock and roller myself and having a band, a Christian rock band during the 80s, and he was a Cats Meow. It was a really big deal for me to be friends with him. Him and his beautiful wife, who I just love. She's just such an extraordinary human being. They started coming down. They started preaching down here. Milan was the kind of guy that Milan Lefevre. You guys look up Milan Lefevre. You guys will look him up. And Milan was the kind of guy, though. He was old school. He'd show up, and he'd say, "Now, Brother Troy, you got this clock on me, brother, and that clock ain't never going to work. I need at least an hour and a half." Well, he'd spend an hour selling his wares. And I'm like, if you just get up and preach, you would have an hour and a half, Milan. Well, I got to tell people about our resources, man. I got to get up. I'm like, dude, you gripe the whole time about, man, look at that clock. I rebuke that clock. Well, you wasted an hour and a half getting up there and telling funny stories. Okay, that's so me. I'm the guy that will get up there and tell funny stories and forget about time. And so I really understood him, and I loved him, and he was really good to me. One day, he called me, and he said, "Hey, Troy, come up here to my house." Now, he's got this big, beautiful mansion in Colleyville. And at this time, you know, this is before the book hit. This is before the things changed. This is all that. And he said, "Man, but this building had already been given to me." Mm-hmm. And the Lord had begun to move me into, "I need you to steward great big things now." And I'm like, okay, so first thing I did was I turned it over to a bunch of people to steward, and then they all stole from me. They tried to kill me, tried to destroy my ministry. I had a bunch of demoniacs in 2011 try to do that because I turned everything over to them. I put together this awesome board, turned it all over to them in November of 2009. And January 2010, they said, "We got great news. You're not going to do missions anymore. You're not going to do the food bank anymore. You're not going to spend any more money. We're taking your name off of your signature authority of everything. We're going to bust down you and your wife's doors. We're stealing your computers. We're running your ministry from your house because you're nuts." Yeah. Yeah. That happened in 2011. Then 2013,
The joys of ministries.
I had to stand against them, and it was a very painful, very bad to burn a whole field. Mm-hmm. And I don't suggest that for anybody. And I'm not the one that burned it. I'm just the guy that said, "No, you're not going to steal from me, and you're not going to accuse my wife of all kinds of horrible things because you want control over everything." Mm-hmm. Once they got in and they saw how much money was going through our midst, they couldn't believe it. And they're like, "This all goes to them Africans. This all goes to them Mexicans. How much of this money is staying in Texas?" I'm like, "How much money do we need? Like, that we told these people we'd feed them, man. Let's feed them."
So is that thought process, is that a part of the poverty mindset?
That is a poverty. That is all. It's also a demonic spirit. It's all just about hoarding up everything. Mm-hmm. They're hoarders in the spirit because they are enslaved and they can't breathe. They don't have enough. It's never enough. It's not about reaching goals for the kingdom. And that's where my never enough is in reaching goals for the kingdom and just the kingdom. I can never have enough kingdom. I can't reach enough people in the kingdom. I can't make a bigger impact. I can't make a big enough impact in the kingdom. I never have enough of the kingdom. But as far as just, I'm not, what else do I need to do? I've written 16 books. I've written over 3,000 published songs. I've been in 64 nations. Leanna has been. I've been in 58 nations. We've done it. I mean, we've done it. I have no more self ambition. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just don't. If I was not reaching goals for the kingdom, I don't really know what I'd live for, other than just to love on my kids and my grandkids and my bride. But I'm very driven. And that's another thing too. A poverty mentality will kill your drive. I think that you actually put together a scripture for that. Did you do that?
Yes. So we put down lack of incentive or enthusiasm.
Yeah.
In Proverbs 24:33-34 says, "A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man."
Whoa. It's like, you better get up off of that couch.
Yeah.
And off of that ever growing butt of yours. And get up and do something right now and have a real incentive. I mean, dude, and I am driven. I mean, you know me. I mean, the brother's driven.
No
Nobody
doubt.
Has to drive me. No, it's If somebody has to drive me, it's because I'm a slave. I ain't no slave.
You know, so what, 2 points. So you talked about how when the people who tried to ruin your ministry, when they saw how much money was coming through, that's when they were like, oh, well, we should be entitled to that.
Well, they weren't. Yes, absolutely. And one person actually stole $16,000 as soon as the computers got moved to their house. But that, more than that, it was like, we have a reputation and we're kind of hoity-toity people. And if people find out how Troy actually gives all the money away, they're going to say we're irresponsible and we're nuts. I mean, because they just did not have it. No, it wasn't their ministry. Although they tried to make it their ministry. It's my ministry. And that's what Jesus called us to do. Well, I want to tell you, it got worse than that a few years later in 2015. Because I turned all that over, all my finances, hired a CPA, got a guy who had a Harvard business degree, get the brother in here, is working with me every day. And in 2015 comes out, that brother has been stealing money.
I was here for that one.
And that brother was trying to kill me. That brother was trying to drive my ministry into the ground. And I actually thought he was my friend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus, what did I do? And he's like, I told you to do this, not to turn it over to somebody else. And I mean, I seriously, because I was still partnering with this spirit of poverty. That comes from an entire lifetime of family and friends and close people around me telling me I wasn't smart, I wasn't this, I wasn't that, who do you think you are? You could never, I mean, like the very first church split we ever had at Open Door Church, back when we were only 30 or 40 people, the very first church split we had was over, I bought Leanna a brand new dress. It was actually a suit. I bought her a suit. And, you know, like, you know, you guys are supposed to be poor. You're people of God. You have taken a vow of poverty. I am not taking a vow of poverty. In fact, I will not poverty. Listen, poverty and prostitution and slavery are all in the same mess.
It's all bondage.
It's all bondage. Mm-hmm. Every single bit of it is. And, but sadly, I actually did. I mean, I was so religious, Connie, that I thought that if I had any income streams outside of whatever came in by faith, that it was cheating on God somehow. I mean, I thought that, and it had been part of my tradition. And also too, it was what a lot of people that I respected and I cared about what they thought of me. And so they thought we should be poor. They, mind you, none of these people helped me when we didn't have electricity on. None of these people, and I want to just tell you, the people that I come from, had it been any other family member, any other group, if it had been a distant cousin, had they lived in a house that didn't have glass in their windows, the family would have got together and figured out how to put it. They didn't do that for me. And they didn't do that for Leanna. They really believed, oh, if you guys are going to be a minister, y'all shouldn't have glass in your windows. And I actually believed that. And I thought that.
That's another thing that poverty does. It makes you think, okay, how my life has to work. It can't be a plan. It has to be a spontaneous kind of thing.
Otherwise, it's not faith. So we think that all faith is just spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
No. If it's spontaneous, it's wilderness.
Wow.
If it's promised land, it's strategic.
Proverbs 21:5
all right,
is really good with that. It says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. So it's like you don't have a plan. You kind of just jump.
So if it's spontaneous, it leads to poverty. That's what your Bible tells you. What is that scripture again?
That's Proverbs 21:5.
Yeah, so the whole deal of the wilderness is that you don't ever know what the plan is. You just got to get through the day, and you just have enough food for the day. If you try and keep it until the next day, then it all goes bad because you ain't got enough sense to be able to handle 2 days worth of food.
Which
you
is
can't like handle another zero.
Yes.
You cannot handle even one more zero. You can't move from 10 to 100. Right? You can't. And so he's like, don't do that because worms will eat up. You guys get sick. And yeah, it's just going to be bad. But then once you move into the promised land, God shifts from being in front of you to being behind you, and he pushes you, and he says, sick them.
Oh, we touched on how the promised land works. I think it was like last podcast or so.
Okay.
But it's just like all the systems and everything that has to go right goes right. And I think you said you move into the rest part of it when you start to get a profit
because it's stewardship. So in the wilderness, you're not required to have any form of stewardship. You just follow God. And I lived that life in ministry for years and years and years. And most poor churches and pastors, that's what they do. And I want to tell you, they're under the influence of a demoniac like I was, a whole group of demoniacs that see you as this. They're scared of your vision. They're scared of your calling. They see you as that. And they're afraid you're not going to be able to tend to them 24 hours a day if you ever break out.
Mom.
Because I want to tell you, after 2011, when I broke away from that group of people, boom, my whole world skyrocketed. If I'd have broke away from them 20 years before that, my whole world would have skyrocketed. But I literally loved these people.
Right.
I loved them. They didn't love me. Mm-hmm. But I loved them. And I was bound and determined as a man of God, I was going to make things work. But part of the package of that, of them pouring into my life every day, is I really, a spirit of poverty and bondage came with them that literally shackled me. So in 2013, we had this building given to us, and Milan Lefevre reached out to me. And I went to go see Brother Milan. I think my dadgum deal just died. It did. My battery's dead. That's okay. I got it here on a computer. And I go up to, so he says, hey, man, I want you to come up here. I need to talk to you. I get up there, and I get up to Milan Lefevre's giant mansion. Milan Lefevre lived a rock star life his whole life, so he didn't get up until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And he's still in his 70s. He's like, man, I've been living this life my whole life, man. There ain't no way I'm changing now.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I got to stay up all night long, man. That's how it is. I'm like, okay, good length. So he gets up about 5 o'clock and washes his hair, which, you know, he has to have a team of people to help him do that. His wife gives him all of his vitamins, and it's like 25, 50-gallon buckets of pills, and he's taking all of his pills. His wife just took such good care of him. And he drinks his coffee, and he comes in there, and he said, man, are you doing okay? And I said, I'm doing great. And I'm like, I can't believe you invited me to your house. Like, I'm in Milan Lefevre's house, man. Just crazy. Like, what a man of God. And then, boom, all of a sudden, he goes, I got some bad news for you, Hoss, because the Holy Spirit told me you ain't going to like the direction of this thing.
No.
I got to confront you on something. And he said, I'm going to confront you. And the Holy Spirit told me, you're going to get mad. You're going to cuss me like a dog and get up and get out of here and swear you're never coming back. And he said, I've already prepared my heart to forgive you for that.
Oh my God.
I told him, I said, brother, you're on crack. You haven't woke up. There ain't nothing in the world you could do to me or say to me that would make me mad, where I cuss you like a dog. I said, brother, I love you and I have great respect for you. You're one of my heroes. I want to be your best friend. He said, well, I am your best friend, but the Holy Ghost told me that I need to confront you about something. And he told me that you're going to get mad and you're going to leave, but to pray for you so that you'll come back. And I'm like, brother, that wasn't the Holy Ghost. You must have ate pizza at 3 o'clock in the morning or something, but it wasn't the Holy Ghost. I promise you, man, it wasn't. And so he goes, well, it was. And he said, man, I know the Lord. I know the voice of the Lord. And he said, I just want you to know this ain't coming from old Milan, man. Mm-hmm. This is coming from the Holy Ghost. And I gotta be true to the Lord, and I gotta be your friend, and I have to confront you. And I said, Milan, what do you want to confront me about? What? Like, I don't know. Maybe he heard this, or maybe he heard that, or, you know, I know that you girls can think a couple of things that people might confront me on. One is sometimes I've had a potty mouth, and I'm sorry for that. There's no place for that in being a leader. But sometimes I would get excited and I'd cuss a little bit while I preached, and you know, dadgummit, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I repent. You know, but I'm a passionate dude. You know, and technically it's actually biblical. I called somebody a damn fool one time, and I'm sorry to do that, but it's because they wouldn't come to Jesus. And I was like, if you don't get up for that pew, get up here and receive Jesus, you're a damn fool. And that is biblical. I mean, foolishness means non-believing, and damn means you're going to hell. But it sounded more Texan than it sounded biblical, and I apologize. So I thought maybe it's something like that, because I'm rough. You know, I'm a little bit rough, and I've had nightmares about cussing while I preach and all that kind of stuff. Like, all right, so maybe he's heard that, or maybe he heard this. Maybe. And I said, what? And he told me, he goes, Troy, brace yourself, because it's going to hurt. And I thought, maybe he's going to talk to me about being fat because he's a health nut. Like, tell me I can't be a fat guy anymore. Maybe that's it. Like, I don't care. Tell me that. I'm like, what? And then he said, brother, you have jumped in bed with a Philistine spirit called poverty. You're called to defeat it, but you like her a lot better with her clothes off.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I've heard this story before, but never the words that were saying.
That's how he started it.
That's a lot.
And he goes, Samson, you're going to lose everything you have because you're attracted to this Philistine spirit called poverty. And he goes, Troy, you got the worst spirit of poverty on you that I have ever seen, to a man who is called to be the face and the voice of redemption all over the planet Earth, which is not going to cost millions of dollars. It's going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars. And the Spirit of the Lord is wanting to give you that, and you're supposed to defeat poverty, but she's so attractive, man, you just jump right in bed, and you just put your hands all over her. God Almighty's sick and tired of it.
Oh, my gosh. No.
That's a... Look, you're hiding your face.
Yes.
I was just sitting there going, well, you're not very freaking diplomatic.
Yeah, that's...
That's what I told him. I said, dude, you're not very freaking diplomatic. Man, brother, I'm not trying to be. I'm trying to kill this thing off of you because it's going to kill you. It's going to kill you. It's going to poke your eyes out, make you a blind entertainer. And I said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And he said this to me, Troy, you are called because you are trusted by God to handle all kinds of millions of dollars upon behalf of the kingdom and for other human beings because you are so selfless, but you have such a bad poverty spirit. You look like somebody picked up a trailer house, shook it, and you fell out of it and you hit the ground. Now I'm starting to go, okay, well, that's probably enough.
Yeah. Now, here's the anger part. The anger part is... It's starting.
And he wouldn't stop. He goes, man, I'm ashamed of you when I see you when it comes to this poverty spirit. And I said, well, I'm ashamed of you too, man. Like, you hadn't cut your hair in 45 years. Why don't you cut your hair, man? So that's ridiculous, dude. You look like a girl. You look like Gandalf. Like, what are you trying to do, be Gandalf? So I'm starting to push back now.
It's turning ugly.
And I told him, I said, okay, man, I totally get it, man.
Gosh.
I was like, yeah. I was like, well, I really don't know what you're talking about. He goes, no, man, you don't. He goes, you don't know what I'm talking about because you never studied it. You've avoided it in the Word of God. You just want to get away with sleeping with the enemy. And God ain't going to let you do it anymore. I'm here to confront you on this, and you're going to deal with this spirit of poverty. Whoa. And I point blank said, who the hell do you think you are to sit over here in this 10 or $15 million mansion? And the reason I don't have any money, Mylon, is because unlike you, I have spent every dime that I have on other people, which you have not.
Oh, my gosh.
And I started, man, and he's like, there he goes, Lord. There he goes, just like you said. I said, yeah, but dude, I'm a grown man. You don't talk to me like that.
Yeah.
That's... I was like, oh, man, dude, you're my hero. And for you to tell me you're ashamed of me because I'm not smart enough, he goes, I didn't say that. Because I'm not rich enough. I don't have enough money for your taste. Have you been running around with rich people all this swinging time that you have forgot what it means to be like Jesus and have no place for your head to rest? Like, what happened to you? See, that's that devil talking through you, brother. You demonized. You got a demon of poverty because you've been sleeping with it for so long. And you just think that God's going to bless that. God ain't going to bless that. You're going to get rid of that poverty in your life. And I said,
He would not back down.
He would not back down. And I point blank told him, okay, well, then you give me your money. You give me your money, and I walk out of here a rich man. And he goes, man, that ain't going to happen. I said, oh, buddy, you're all mouth. You're all mouth, and I think I've had enough of this. And I got up. I said, good for you, Mylon Lefevre. Good for you. You did it. Good for you. Your prophecy came true. It came true. Mm-hmm. You sit over here in your high-gated, beautiful house with a tennis court and a beautiful wife. Everything is in pristine condition here. Looks like a set of Star Wars. And I'm like, you're going to talk to me, and you're going to make fun of me. He goes, I was not making fun of you. I'm talking to you about a spirit of poverty. And I said, well, you're done talking with me, Hoss. Adios. And I turned around. I walked off. Mylon followed me out on the porch, and he was standing out there going, well, there it goes, Lord. There it goes.
There he goes, just like you told me. I told you, Lord. I told you he's going to run off. There he goes. Bring him back, Jesus. Bring him back.
Oh,
bring
my gosh.
And I literally went to the car going, la, 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 la. I told him, I said, you're lucky. I'm still a young man.
I'll pick you up and throw you down on the ground. Like, I cannot believe you just talked to me like that.
No, all of Savannah, that was a lot.
I actually got in a car. I drove back, and I'm going to tell y'all, I was crying. I was so embarrassed, and I was so mad, and I was so upset, and I was just like, Lord, Lord Jesus, what happened? What happened? Like, how come, why does this always happen to me? I wanted to be best friends with him. What, help me? And I was like, Lord, if you want me to turn around and listen to that clown, I will, but you're going to have to spell it out. I got to hear you speak. I was trying to get to the highway, and the car in front of me stopped. It stopped, and I had to stop, and I was praying that prayer, and I looked at his license plate, and the license plate said, turn round. T-R-N-R-N-D. I told him, you're going to have to spell it out.
Yeah.
You want me to turn around? You're going to have to spell it out. The license plate said, turn round. T-R-N-R-N-D. I went, oh, no. So I turned around, went back to his beautiful house. And he was still standing out there on the porch, out there crying. And I came pull him up. He goes, he had his arms out like this. He could see me. It's like the father, you know, the prodigal son is coming back. He's got his arm. He can see me coming down the road when he's out there. Here he comes, Lord. Here he comes. Here he comes. Come here. Come here. Let me love your neck. Let me love your neck. And I hugged him. And he's like, I'm sorry, Troy. I'm sorry. He goes, I didn't want to do this, but I promise you God Almighty's fixing to change your life. And so here's what Madeline Lefevre did. He talked to me about a spirit of poverty. And he talked to me about partnering with it. How much of it had to do with identity that Jesus didn't give me. How that it had to do with wisdom that I hadn't tapped into yet, and how you have to decide, I will be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ with many zeros, and I will apply myself to that, and God Almighty will give you the many zeros. And like you think because of the choices that you've made and because of things within your life and because what demonic influences within your life has spoken onto you, that you actually think that you're not called into the promised land living that Jesus has called you into. And he started going through all this. He literally took me through this whole deal and said, you need to decide right now, you're never going to get in a sack with the Philistine of poverty again. You need to repent. And he goes, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be harder than you think because you love her. You think about her all the time. You're infatuated with her. And it's going to be harder than you think, but you're going to have to repent and say, I'll never jump in that bed again, ever. And a lot of my identity of all the people that we were reaching out to, of all my outreach ministries, the only reason why I only did outreach ministry was because I didn't think that I could belong anywhere else. I belonged among the poorest of the poor because that was how I saw myself. And I belonged around really messed up people because I really believed that I was really messed up.
Well,
and that was what that Jezebel spirit told me. And she worked her magic on me because she made me feel good. And I'm like, oh, and he told me, no, it's an adulterous spirit. I know what poverty spirit is. He goes, Troy, poverty is an adulterous spirit. And you're committing adultery with this spirit. And you're going to have to kick it out of your bed and never, ever, ever return.
Mom.
Well, I can walk you through that. But I also want to walk you through this. And I got to tell you guys this. Madeline Lefevre opened up all of his books to me. And I will go to my grave not ever telling anybody because that was in confidence between he and I. But he opened up all of his finances to me, showed me all of his income streams, showed me how he had to have multiple income streams. And it was one of the first things I got was, you need to have multiple income streams. And I was like, I know that sounds silly, but it was like I didn't believe that. And I also didn't believe it was okay for me to have more than... So I literally had lived in this thing. And, you know, we didn't even take up offerings at Open Door Church for the first 15, 20 years. We didn't even, I mean, I wouldn't even allow offerings in there. I was so scared everybody was going to think I was after their money. And it was something that a group of people always said to me. Everybody's going to think you're after their money. Everybody's going to think you're after their money. And so I didn't even, I partnered with the spirit of poverty. And oh, I promise you, as an older man now, if I could go back and undo anything, oh, I would undo that. Because if I knew then what I know now, I would have been a multimillionaire by the time I even left my 20s. I mean, I just would. And I know how to partner with the Lord in prosperity. I know how to partner with the Lord in being impactful as a paymaster in the kingdom of heaven, that God can just trust me and say, pay for that, 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 pay for that. Let's be done with it. Okay, we're done with it. And anytime I get into a place where I'm broke, I tell the Lord, I'm broke because I do what you tell me to do. And if this is the end of the road for these things, then so it is. I'm just not even going to worry about it. This is your ministry. It's not mine. You know, you got to fund it. And I know how you are. And then the Lord speaks to people and they just start boom, 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 boom. And stuff that didn't work starts working and stuff that wasn't paid for starts getting paid for. And so Manon Lefebvre gave me his counsel and I gave him all of my church finances, we hadn't even started Troy Brew Ministries yet. We didn't start that until 2016 and 2017. And I gave him all the church finances and we looked over this, man, and we looked over it and he just said, he goes, you need to know what a gift you have, what a financial gift you have, because you guys have lived in extreme poverty and you have met the whole world with Jesus. You have funded houses. You have funded this. And he goes, you guys are poor. You guys are giving away millions of pounds of groceries. You guys have reached millions of people. It's crazy. With nothing.
Right.
With nothing. And he was like, golly, Troy, imagine what's going to happen when he starts adding all these zeros to you. And he also prayed for the revelation of zeros and told me to start speaking faith concerning millions and millions of dollars coming into my life. Manon Lefebvre worked with me. He gave me counsel. He hooked me up with financial people. He encouraged me. He gave to our ministry in a tremendous way. He helped me, helped me, helped me. And that was in 2013, I think, maybe 2014, 2016 is when it all hit. Mm-hmm. But I had to get into a place where I conformed my life to it and where I ran poverty out of my life.
I saw that Robin had posted the same scripture that we have in the notes about Manon Lefebvre, that faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And I also saw Ashton posted that today is his actual birthday. He was born on October 6, 1944.
That's amazing.
That's amazing, because we didn't plan this. So that's awesome.
Today is Manon Lefebvre's birthday? Yeah. Oh, I thought you said it was Ashton's birthday.
Oh, no, it's Mylon's.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I miss him.
He was really cool. He was really cool.
Man, that brother changed my life, man. I'm so grateful for him. Dadgummit.
And he did it in a way, like, it makes me think of when you talk about Jesus is not nice.
He was not nice
when he confronted you, but he did what he had to do. And it was a kindness because it literally changed your life for the better. And it spoke Jesus into your heart in a way that I don't think, well, who knows how long it would have taken you to get that across had it not come in such a confrontative way from a man you loved and respected so much. And for him to be willing to risk that relationship and still confront, knowing that, you know what, this is what the Lord is speaking to Troy. I'm going to be a faithful friend to do this. Just beautiful.
He was a good friend to me. And anyway, today's his birthday.
Today's his birthday.
How old would that old goat be? 44?
Well, he died in 2023 at 78. So about
82.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. That's crazy. Wow. Well, and hello, my brother in Uganda. So I can just tell you that once the Lord defeated poverty in my own life, I can tell you that because I already had the goal of defeating poverty. I actually, up until that time, I had the goal of helping people survive their poverty, but I really didn't have the goal of defeating poverty within people's lives. And now I've completely changed all that. And I will not suffer the fool of poverty within my life, because I don't have time for it. And then also, I had there was a place in my life where Leanna and I, man, we were driving down the road and it was just so cool. The Spirit of the Lord filled up our truck and we both just started praying in the Spirit. And it was beautiful. And I heard God speak, and Leanna heard God speak, and we heard God speak at the same time, the same word, and we heard the Lord say, "You will never be poor again."
Wow.
I mean, we heard it. Like, okay, we're past that now. Now, we've had huge financial challenges, but it was not coming from a place of poverty. It was coming from a place, man, where we knew that that we had an open window from heaven. So I think that we'll have to continue this.
Yes.
Well, we're 2 hours into this. I think that we'll have to continue this because I got a lot more scriptures and a lot more things to give you. And also, too, my brother Alan DiDio just came out with this new book. I don't even know if it's out yet, but he gave me one when I was with him. And it's 101 Prosperity Confessions, and I'm going through his book every single day now. It's just a little thing like this. It's got confessions at the bottom of it, and it's got, you know, wealth that lasts, legacy of wealth, treasures and righteousness, committed plans prosper. And he's got the scripture for it. And then he's got something he says about it. And then he has a confession about it. Well, God bless. I can't think of her name. Madeline Lefevre's wife. God bless her today. I know that today must be a hard day for her. That just hit me. It's a hard day. You know, man, when you really love somebody and it's their birthday or it's their death date, you know, it'll hit you. And I was like, oh man. So I pray for her in Jesus' name. Is her name Jill? Is it? No, it's not Jill. It's Mylon. But anyway, she's running his entire ministry now, and she's just killing it. She's just such a great woman.
Oh, Christy.
Christy. It is Christy. Yeah. God bless Christy, and we bless her, and we bless her amazing ministry today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hey, so I can tell you this. I haven't even got into yet contending for your covenant. The covenant is such a big deal of prosperity.
Amen. And the seed.
And then the seed. And we're going to get into the seed. You have to have your seed. It's part of the seed war end time plan is for you to have so much anxiety and to flee when no one is chasing you and all those different things just because of all the stress that comes with never having enough. God Almighty wants to change that, and he will change that for you. And you're literally going to give your way out of it, and you're going to become selfless. And once you become selfless in every single way, especially when it comes to partnering with the Lord financially, once that happens, the Lord, I'm telling you, he does not care about the zeros. I have literally had, and I know that you girls have been with me, I've got this weird thing within me that whether somebody can give me a $10 check and somebody can give me a $100,000 check, and they both feel exactly the same to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, exactly. I mean, I have been really glad out of some big financial givers that have really pulled us out of a big mess. And like the people that are helping us, that are standing with us, man, to buy this new home for boys and girls in Mexico. Because I promised I would do that. And I promised it without having the money. But I do not have a spirit of poverty. I have the spirit of prosperity is actually with me, so I wasn't worried about it. I committed and went, yeah, we're doing this. So people stepped up. I'm like, woo, way to go. Praise God. But I give you my word. I feel the same. If I write a check for $100,000, I feel exactly the same after I wrote it as before I wrote it.
It's definitely an anointing. Definitely.
I feel exactly the same. I mean, we were just talking about in our support to Israel since October the 7th, we have written out more than $900,000 worth of checks.
Oh, I have to say, I was here during that 2015 church mess.
Yeah.
And I am so proud, and I was so proud the day that everything kind of came out. It was a Wednesday, and that night, the offering that you took up was all for Israel. Yes. And it was so powerful. It was so powerful. I was like, you know what? I am glad of this, because if this is the last stand, yes, yeah. Let it be with Israel.
If we go out, let it be that we went out given everything that we have for the benefit of the king and his beautiful kingdom.
Yes.
And I have that anointing in my life now. I want to finish here by saying this too. If I'm sure that you guys know about the prophet, the Cracker Barrel prophet.
Yeah.
And so if you know about the Cracker Barrel prophet, you can type it in there. I know about him. I'm going to say it just for the sake of a few people that might not know this story. But a few years ago, I think probably 2018, something like that, I went to Jerry Ann Webb's conference. The first time that I met her, and I love Jerry Ann Webb. She's just such a good girl. And we go out there, and I was with my team. Giles was with me. Remember Giles?
Oh, yeah.
Remember Giles? And there was other people that was there with me.
I think Pastor Jerry was there.
Yeah, I think so too. There was several people there with me, and we were in Clear Lake, Florida, and I've never been to Clear Lake, Florida, and she's a swamp. She's one of those Georgia redneck girls, those swamp girls out there, man. And she grew up, you know, out there, you know, on the Georgia-Florida line, which is a unique American experience, just unique and beautiful and crazy cool. And so I was like, hey, man, let's go to Cracker Barrel. We'll go to Cracker Barrel. Everybody goes to sit down in the rocking chairs outside. I went inside, put my name down. They said, what's your name? Troy Brewer, table of seven. Like, Troy Brewer? Like, yes, Troy Brewer. And I heard this guy who was sitting at the table near us. I told you. And he's looking at me. And the way he's looking at me was kind of crazy. So I jumped out, I turned around and walked out. Like, maybe I owe this guy money or something. I don't know. Maybe my booking agent sent him to me. I don't know. I don't have a booking yet. So anyway, so like, okay. So he comes out and he said, look, the Lord came to me in a dream and in a vision last night at 3 o'clock in the morning. I woke up and God told me, go to Clear Lake, Florida, go find Troy Brewer and give him this prophetic word. It was a 6-hour drive. He woke up his wife and it was such a clear, definitive word for him. He thought I had a church in Clear Lake, Florida. He had just seen me on Daystar.
Mm-hmm.
And he just seen me there. He saw me on Joni Table Talk. And so like, okay, so great. So he goes, he got his wife up. They drove 6 hours, hundreds and hundreds of miles. They get there. They can't find a Troy Brewer church anywhere. And they went, well, I guess I messed that up. So they went to Cracker Barrel to go eat. And he told his wife, I want to sit right here by the front door in case that joker walks in here. And she's like, okay, you're a nut.
Yeah.
And then I walked in there. And I did. It's just so crazy.
Yeah.
What a crazy word that is. And so, man, he's like, okay, so... he comes out. I said, okay, brother, well, you got my attention. What's the word? His wife was crying. His wife was telling him, I'm sorry. Because she'd been, you're kind of getting out there. You know, you're waking us up 3 o'clock in the morning, having us drive, you know, hundreds of miles and all this. He goes, I'm telling you, it was the Lord. And she's like, I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry. And he goes, it's okay. No, this is legit. And I said, what is your word? And he said, thus saith the Lord. He pointed his finger at me and he spoke. He goes, I'm going to say this the way that God told it to me. And say, what? And he said, do not pray any longer for millions of dollars. Pray for hundreds of millions of dollars. And I went, really? And he said, that's what the Lord sent me here. He goes, that was what he told me in that dream. And he also told me you were here and you're here. That comes from the Lord.
How did you take it?
I honestly did not know what to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I can't think of a reason to pray for hundreds of millions of dollars. This is how ignorant I am. So stupid. I should have started praying immediately for $100 million. And I want to tell you, it took me a while to build up my faith into praying for that. Because I got no call for $100 million. What do I need? I do now.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly what if I literally got $100 million today, I promise you I could have the entire $100 million spent within a year just on projects throughout the world. You know, and some joker like Stephen King, he's liable to make $100 million this year. And what is he going to do with it? That
write
clown.
Write more books about how much he hates Christians.
Yeah, exactly right. Create another book with another Christian as a bad guy like he always does. Okay, or, you know, I could go on and on. Biden gave away billions and billions and billions, if not trillions of dollars, to the worst human beings on the planet Earth, all throughout the Earth. He totally funded October 7th by those pallets of cash that him and Obama both sent to Iran, and Iran funded Hamas. That was American money that funded the atrocities of October 7th. Why should we be afraid to pray for hundreds of millions of dollars? If we, the people of God, are going to selflessly Move the kingdom forward.
Why should we be afraid to be prosperous?
That's exactly right. Because somebody might be mad with them. To hell with them.
Yeah.
To hell with them. And to hell with that spirit that's in it. Exactly right. You guys be as poor as you want to be. Amen. Yeah. But let the people of God prosper and say, I don't trust anybody else to make a big difference. I'm going to make a big difference. And all you clowns that have this money and you don't do anything with it and you can't name one single story of how you benefited somebody else's life without it personally benefiting you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah, well, I brought in this girl. She was poor and she's a maid. Yeah, and you sneak off with her. You're getting something out of that. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I do this, I do that. Okay, yeah, and you get something out of it every single time. Man, let the people of God prosper in Jesus' name.
Yes, and there's so much preaching about the great wealth transfer that's coming, and I'm like, yes, it is, but the Lord's going to entrust that transfer to people that are already doing stuff now. He's going to entrust it to people that he can trust them to steward it well and to actually build the kingdom and not build their own earthly empires.
I am going to finish by praying for every single person that is watching that the spirit of poverty, I'm going to rebuke the spirit of poverty off of you. I'm going to rebuke it. And I want you to receive this because I'll tell you, I have an authority in this. This is not a gift I'm operating in. This is an authority. I have literally saved untold tens of thousands of people out of situations of poverty. Through the Open Door Food Bank, through rescuing kids, through all of our homes all over the world, through the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of houses that I have bought for other human beings and gave them those houses. I've literally saved people from poverty. I have an authority on this. I have an authority. Through the over 1,040 water wells we have dug and handed that over to people that were so poor they didn't even have clean water. I could go on and on and on about all this, but I'm telling you, I have an authority. I am invested into this, and I also have a victory within my life that God Almighty literally brought me and Leanna from a house that didn't have glass windows in it. We didn't have anybody in the world that cared about us. We didn't have electricity. We raised kids many times without having electricity in the house. We were faithful over a church that fed tens of thousands of people a year, but I was so scared to take up offerings because I partnered with the spirit of poverty. I was afraid everybody was going to think I was after their money. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm over it. I'm over it, and I will not partner with that spirit. King Jesus gave me, I had an encounter with Jesus in the year 2015, and King Jesus, whether you want to believe this or not, I give you my word as a man of God that this is a true story, and I fear the Lord, and I'm not going to lie to the Holy Ghost. You can read about Ananias and Sapphira. They dropped over dead, and I wouldn't fool with that. But I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ in the year 2015, more than a year after I started my learning how to get out of poverty and rebuking the spirit of poverty that I had been in bed with. He called it the Philistine spirit of poverty. And instead of wiping it out, I get undressed with it and jump in bed with it. That's what he told me. And it was true. And I didn't know it until he told me that. He was so right. And he was such a nice guy. I mean, it wasn't like him to be ugly to me. He literally got on to me about it. And it did offend me. It offended me. It hurt my feelings so bad. And the Lord Jesus used it in an incredible way. And I literally smote the spirit of poverty. I got it out of my life. And then in 2015, I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ after the dude... we talked about the thief, the Judas that was among us that tried to overtake my ministry and divert all the funds into somebody else's ministry. And I mean, I'm talking about a demoniac. I'm talking about next level demonic. It was during that time that I found out that how bad of a shape that we were actually in. And I thought we were doing so good. And also too, how that he lied and a lot of ministries that I thought that we were supporting, we were not supporting. He was lying to me, telling me that we were supporting them, including to Israel, including this. And he stole all that money and moved it to another ministry, a ministry that involved a woman that he was sleeping with. So there's that. And so it was really bad. And it was a very, very, very difficult time. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on one of the worst days of my entire life. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ showed up upon my behalf. I had a 153 minute encounter with Jesus. lasted 153 minutes to the second. I was aware of it. That's Psalms 153. And I literally saw Jesus. At the end of this thing, Jesus Christ gave me a five-sided box in this encounter that I had with the Lord. You might call it a dream or a vision. I can just tell you that I was in another place. And when he handed me this box, I held it close to my chest to cherish it because I knew it had the clock was ticking and I just had a few seconds left until my encounter was over with. And that whole gift went into my chest. It like went into my chest and disappeared. And I looked at King Jesus and I said, Lord, that gift you just gave me went into my heart. And he said, yes, and it was over. When I woke up, I knew that there were five gifts that Jesus had put into my heart for this lifetime. And the first one was the power to gain wealth. I knew that. 133 minutes. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. 133 minutes was that event. And so it's the power to gain wealth. And the Lord gave me the power to gain wealth. That's Deuteronomy 8:18. If you have been seeing 8:18 everywhere, I really and truly believe with all my heart, Jesus is knocking and saying, I have given you the power to gain wealth. Now I need to give you the key of King David, and you need to unlock that. You need to be able to gain access to it. So I want you to get ready right wherever you're at. Just get ready. You ready? Receive this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke a spirit of poverty off of anybody's life that is listening to me, off of all of my partners, off of all of my friends, over everybody, God, that is in this room with me right now. You foul spirit of poverty, we rebuke you. You Jezebel spirit, you spirit of witchcraft and misery and control that is called poverty, you spirit of hopelessness, I rebuke you. Get out. Get out. Get out in Jesus' name. Get out in the name of King Jesus. Get out in Jesus' name. Father God, I want to lift up all my friends. And God, such as I have, I give unto them. Every partner, God, that we have, such as I have, I give unto them. Jesus, you told me, God, that I would be able to freely give away this gift and that it would not diminish mine. You told me that. And so, Father, such as I have, I give unto them. Now, guys, listen, receive it. Receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it in the name of Jesus. And repent for thinking it's okay for you to be poor and for you to not be able to make choices. Because when you think like that, you think it's okay for you to just be thinking about you. You don't know the people that God's going to bring you across in the future, that you're the one that's going to bail them out. You don't know the people that would otherwise be homeless, that you're going to give them a home. You don't know the people that are enslaved, that you'll be able to pay the money to get them out. You don't know those people yet. It ain't about you. So receive that in the mighty name of King Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I feel the Lord. I feel God. I feel Jesus. Hey, guys, I'm going to let you guys go. I'm worn out now. And I feel the Lord. You guys feel the Lord in here?
Yeah.
Jesus is in here, man. He's here. I'm going to ask you to continue to partner with me. I'm going to ask you to continue to stand with me as we stand with people all over the world in the name of Jesus and for his kingdom. And I would encourage you guys to plant a seed towards this. You know, yesterday, I'm believing God for a big piece of land next to Redemption Ranch. I am.
Exciting, yeah.
And I'm believing God for that. Jerry is believing God for that. There's a friend of mine that he has a ranch, and he's a man of God. And this friend, the place next to his place came up for sale, an additional 300 acres. And I said, well, did you get it? He said, yeah. He said the guy would actually tote the note on it as well. I was like, what do you need for a down payment to be able to do that? And he said, I need $30,000. And I was just sitting there, and I said, don't you have $30,000? He goes, no. I'm like, okay. And so I called Pastor Jerry, and we pulled $30,000 out of Redemption Ranch account today and gave that man of God $30,000 for him to buy the land next to his place because I'm sowing into that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sowing into that knowing that God will give me the place next to our place now. It's not even for sale. It's a seed.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil wants to, you know, whenever the Bible says in Malachi, where it talks about giving, it talks about specifically being in covenant with God in your giving, which the Old Testament calls that tithing. I would just say this. He says this, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. The word devourer is literally the seed eater. I'll make sure that you got money for the seed that you need for the harvest that I have coming for you.
And when you look all throughout the Bible, you see that when the seed is eaten up and when there's no harvest, that's an obvious curse. It's not like, oh, it just happens.
Yeah.
It's a curse.
It is a curse. Well, I believe, guys, that your curse is broken. And I believe that you're on a whole new journey, like what I have been on the past 9 years, of a whole lot of extra zeros and a whole lot more impact. And I'm believing God for that for you. Now, get ready, because people are going to hate me for saying anything about money. But here's what I say: to hell with that devil. Y'all can kiss my grits in Jesus' name. I will cry all the way to making a difference within people's lives. I sure will. Guys, I love you guys. Thank you all so much, man, for watching today. And I bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, man, for being my partner. Thank you so much. Connie, I want to say thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
It's always such a privilege to have you back on with me.
Oh, thank you. It's a privilege to be back.
It is, man. Mm-hmm. And you're so daggum helpful. Taylor, thanks, man. Taylor behind the cameras up here today. Thank you so much. Guys, tomorrow I will be what?
Oh, Rebecca. She's over.
Don't forget Rebecca.
It down.
Rebecca's in here. Rebecca's holding it down. You go, Rebecca. Yeah, she's wearing a shirt that says, "His presence changes everything." And indeed it does. Actually, a hat. Right on. I bless you. In Jesus' name. Well, guys, I'm going to let you guys go. Tomorrow, I have got somebody who's never been on a show with me. And it's actually Wednesday. It's going to be Wednesday. Yeah, tomorrow, guys, we're having a special October 7th edition of The Pulse. And I encourage you guys to join me on The Pulse tomorrow. And then Wednesday, I have Brooke. Is it Parker? I don't think it's Parker. Gosh, what's Brooke's last name? Dr. Brooke. Y'all know how I am with names, and y'all know how I am. She is one of the greatest fighters of trafficking. It is Parker, Dr. Brooke Parker. I've only spoken to her on the phone. I spent probably a couple of hours of my life speaking to her on the phone. I've been in the same room with her. She has got 2 Presidential Medal of Freedom Award, 2 of them.
Whoa.
2. She is a bad motor scooter. She was trafficked herself as a child, and she makes a great difference here within the United States. And she is a woman of God. She is amazing. So, guys, that will be on this coming Wednesday. And then I'll be here at Open Door Church this coming Wednesday. All right, guys, I love you guys. And until the next time I see you, I'll call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, everybody. This is going to be one of the greatest shows ever, and I'm so excited about it. So, friends, be looking for Joseph Z.
We're Christians. We're believers in Jesus.
That's right. Darren Stott.
This can be redeemed. Your marriage can be restored.
Alan DeDia.
God speaks through authority. He always has, and he always will.
Tony Markle.
And so it should be a call to the men of the household to be strong in their position and don't abandon the post.
Brian Schwartz.
That means we have his memory. We have his insight. We have his perspective.
And yours truly, for a brand new show that's called The Counter. You'll be able to find it exclusively in Stage 2 and Stage 3 of ODX.TV.